Television critic David Bianculli has a review of a new television production of Eugene O'Neill's Strange Interlude. It's being presented as a three-part miniseries this week to kick off the seventh season of public television's American Playhouse. David says some of his favorite programs of the 80s have come from this anthology, but Strange Interlude isn't one of them.
Remember that scene in Annie Hall when Woody Allen and Diane Keaton are standing on her balcony? They're making small talk while their true thoughts are revealed to the audience. Long before Woody Allen used that technique for comedy, Eugene O'Neill used it for drama, in a marathon 4.5-hour play appropriately titled Strange Interlude. O'Neill doesn't just let a few characters speak their mind, he lets them all do it, and sometimes at the same time. It's a rhythm that takes getting used to, like talking on an overseas phone call, or watching Gorbachev be interviewed, then waiting for the translation. Director Herbert Wise, who did I, Claudius, stages the play very simply for TV. He doesn't even use different camera angles to differentiate between speech and thought. Lines that are dialogue, the actors speak loudly. Lines that are thoughts, they whisper. Got it? Good, because here comes a sample. Glenda Jackson plays Nina. She's married a man named Sam, gotten pregnant, learned that insanity runs in his family, and aborted the unborn child. In this scene, she confides all this to her family doctor, played by David Dukes, who's secretly in love with her.
I promised his mother I'd make him happy. He's unhappy now because he thinks he can't give me a child, and I'm unhappy because I've lost my child, so I must have another baby somehow. Don't you think, Doctor, to make us both happy?
That look in her eyes, what does she want me to think?
That look in his eyes, what does he mean?
That's the way this play goes, for 4.5 hours, covering a generation in these people's very verbose lives. By the time Strange Interlude reaches its climax, the child Nina eventually has is old enough to be engaged, which leads to lots of friction from lots of different directions. Here's Jackson as Nina again, this time as a much older woman. She tosses off an insult at her son's fiancé, who responds in thought, followed by the thoughts of Nina's husband, Sam.
I am quite aware that my son is no weakling, although he does do weak things sometimes.
Ouch, that was meant for me. Why does she dislike me so? I've done my best for Gordon's sake to be nice to her.
Another nasty crack at Madeline. Nina's certainly become the prize bum sport. I thought once her change of life was over, she'd be ashamed of her crazy jealousy. Instead of that, it's got worse. I'm not going to let her come between Gordon and Madeline. He loves her and she loves him. And her family's got money.
That was Ken Howard, who used to star in The White Shadow, as Sam. And it's a piece of miscasting that Howard just can't overcome. Sam is a wimp, more of a puppy than a man. And Howard, who towers over everyone else and has a deep, strong voice, is about as wimpy as Arnold Schwarzenegger. Even more disappointing, though, is Glenda Jackson in the starring role. And that's a shock, because she got raves for performing the same role on Broadway a few years ago. This time, it's definitely TV that makes the difference. On stage, costumes and body language can do a lot. On TV, it's the close-ups that count. And as gifted an actress as Glenda Jackson is, it's virtually impossible to accept her as a fragile 21-year-old. That's a nice way of putting it, David, but why don't you say what you're thinking? Tell the truth, that when Glenda Jackson wears a pageboy wig and no makeup in the early scenes, she looks like Prince Valiant. Jackson is much more effective in the show's final acts. The cast members who age most gracefully and credibly are David Dukes and Edward Petherbridge, who almost make Strange Interlude worth watching. Oh, come on, David. Almost worth watching? That almost makes sense. Just tell people to skip it and stop talking to yourself.
David Bianculli is television critic for The New York Post.